Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
We are just beginning, really as of yesterday, a series on the theme of restoration, restoration of the church, restoration of Israel, and of course, all of it has applicability to the restoration of the individual. God is a God of restoration, and as we said in yesterday's program, God is a God of restoration because God is a God of destiny. He has a purpose for each one of our lives. He has a purpose for every holy institution on earth. He has a purpose for the church, purpose for Israel, and He is working through history to restore those purposes from the damage that's been done through our sin and our rebellion. This is an exciting theme, and today you're going to hear Derek draw from the book of Joel some very powerful lessons about restoration. So call a friend, get your Bible, get something to take notes with, and let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches us about the theme of restoration.
I said yesterday that the overall situation in the world gives the impression of a troubled, restless sea, with powerful winds and currents opposing one another, and forces let loose that are beyond our comprehension or control. And yet, in the midst of it all, God is working out His master plan, a plan which He had settled in His own mind before history ever began to run its course. God's plan centers in His people, those to whom He has committed Himself by His covenant, and who are in turn truly committed to Him. For the people who fulfill these requirements, God's ultimate purpose is altogether good. It can be summed up in one word, restoration. Before I go any further, let me define briefly what I mean by restoration. To restore is to put a thing back in its right place, or its right condition, or both. The very fact that a thing needs to be restored necessarily indicates that in some way it has not been in its right place or its right condition. Now let's apply this definition to God's people. God's end-time purpose is to put His people back in their right place and their right condition. For an overall picture of God's end-time plan for His people, I'm going to turn to the prophecy of Joel. Joel is a comparatively brief prophetic book, and it presents God's purposes for His people and the way He'll work them out in a simple but comprehensive outline. The prophecy of Joel contains three chapters. Each chapter can be taken to represent a phase of God's total purpose. The word that sums up the first chapter is desolation. The word that sums up the second chapter is restoration. The third chapter deals with judgment. Judgment will come according to how we respond to God's restoration. Those who respond positively will be blessed, but those who refuse God's restoration will be dealt with in judgment. Now, I'm going to focus today primarily on the themes of the first two chapters, desolation, restoration. Before I read anything from the actual prophecy, I want to point out to you that in the forefront of the prophecy, all the way through, there are two very special trees, the fig tree and the vine. In a certain sense, everything in the prophecy turns around the condition of these two trees. When these trees are desolate, everything else is desolate. When these trees begin to flourish again, everything else flourishes with them. I believe that in the symbolism of Joel's prophetic imagery, these two trees symbolize God's two covenant peoples, the two peoples to whom God is committed by His covenant that He will not break. I believe the fig tree symbolizes Israel, and the vine symbolizes the church. I believe that in many passages of Scripture, the fig tree often primarily refers to Israel, whereas the vine is a natural symbol of the church. So with this symbolism in mind, let me read a passage from the first chapter of Joel that gives a picture of total desolation. And I want you to notice that both at the beginning and the end of this picture, the focus is on the vine and the fig tree. The desolation has been caused by alien forces invading the inheritance of God's people. Beginning at verse 6, "For a nation has invaded my land." And then going on to verse 7, "It has made my vine a waste and my fig tree splinters. It has stripped them bare and cast them away. Their branches have become white." Notice the vine and the fig tree in the forefront and totally desolated. Then the rest of the picture is filled in. Verse 10, "The field is ruined, the land mourns, for the grain is ruined, the new wine dries up, fresh oil fails." There are three figures there too, the grain, the new wine, and the oil. In prophetic symbolism, grain represents the source of strength for God's people, primarily His Word. The new wine represents the joy, which is also a source of strength. And the fresh oil nearly always represents the fresh anointing and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse 11 goes on, "Be ashamed, O farmers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is destroyed." And then we return again to the trees. The vine dries up and the fig tree fails. The pomegranate, the palm also, and the apple tree, all the trees of the field dry up. Notice other trees are included, but the focus is on the vine and the fig tree. And then it's summed up in this statement, "Indeed, rejoicing dries up from the sons of men." Joy has totally withered away from the human scene. Now we're going to look at the picture of restoration, which comes in the second chapter of Joel. Beginning at verse 21, "Do not fear, O land. Rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness have turned green, for the tree has borne its fruit. The fig tree and the vine have yielded in full." Notice again, in the forefront of restoration, just as in the forefront of desolation, we have these two symbolic trees, the fig tree typifying Israel, the vine typifying the church, and their condition determines the condition of the rest of God's inheritance. And then we have in the 24th verse a promise of the restoration of God's basic provision for His people. "The threshing floors will be full of grain, the vats will overflow with the new wine and the oil." Notice again the three items, the grain, the new wine, the oil. The grain symbolizing the strength that comes from God's word, the new wine symbolizing the joy of the Lord which gives strength, the oil representing the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Then in the next verse, God sums up what He's accomplishing through His intervention on behalf of His people. The key word is restore. "Then I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locust, the stripping locust, and the gnawing locust, my great army which I sent among you." So you see, the central thrust of God's purpose for His people is in those words, "I will restore." I want you to notice the extent of God's promise. It goes far beyond what we would normally anticipate. God does not merely say He will drive out the invading army of insects, but He says He will restore everything that they have eaten. That's a tremendous promise of God. We need to lay hold upon it.
I have to reemphasize something that Derek has said. He said to restore is to put a thing back in its right place, or its right condition, or both. That is a powerful truth. That is what God is doing throughout history. That is what God wants to do in your life, and it certainly is what He's doing with the church today. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Few people realize that the church and the nation of Israel have two closely connected but very distinct destinies. Or that as history's clock ticks, the paths of the church and of Israel get closer together. In fact, it's only a matter of time before they converge. In his classic book, The Destiny of Israel and the Church, Derek Prince pulls back the curtain of prophecy and reveals the separate roles that Israel and the Church will play as we hurtle forward into the last days. Discover why, as these prophetic paths converge, we will find ourselves in a season of the most dramatic and earth-shaking developments in all of human history. What lies just ahead, and how should believers respond? Order The Destiny of Israel and the Church by Derek Prince at the special price of only $9.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. In a day in which many Christians are confused or are falling prey to false teachings about the place of Israel in God's plan of redemption, Derek Prince offers a voice of clarity and biblical authority. In a season in which too few believers know what God has planned for the church at the climax of history, this book brings us trustworthy answers. Take a moment to order your copy of The Destiny of Israel and the Church, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or securely order your copy for only $9.95 when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. We're in a marvelous series with Derek Prince on the theme of restoration. And you're just about to hear Derek teach out of Psalm 102 about restoration and God's prophetic calendar, what God is doing with his people in the end times. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us about restoration.
Today I'm going to show you how many centuries ago God appointed a special time in history for this process of restoration. And more important still, I'm going to tell you why I believe that we today are actually living in that appointed time. I'm going to turn first of all to Psalm 102. Now, the opening part of this psalm is a personal lament by the psalmist. Everything seems to have dried up and withered all around him. He sees nothing to encourage him. He feels, in a sense, all hope is lost. He's in a condition of despair, personally. But then, at the 12th verse, he turns his eyes away from himself and his own situation, lifts them up to the Lord, focuses on the Lord and what the Lord is doing, and immediately his whole attitude changes to one of optimism and joy. And that's a good pattern to follow. When you feel depressed and hopeless and without any source of encouragement, stop looking at yourself and your own situation, lift up your eyes to the Lord and hear what he has to say, and that can change your mood. All right, now we'll read from verse 12 onwards in Psalm 102 what the psalmist says as he focuses his eyes upon the Lord. Verse 12, "But you, O Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations." It's good to remember that. God rules on his throne, and he never abdicates from it. He's there all the time. Then the key verse, in a way, is verse 13. "You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come." Zion, I believe, is one of the scriptural titles for all of God's covenant people, all those who are related to God through a covenant. Notice that there is an appointed time when God is going to show favor on his covenant people. The word favor is directly related to the New Testament word for grace. It always means something which we cannot earn or cannot deserve, but comes to us simply because it's God's will to give it to us. The next verse, "For her stones are dear to your servants. Her very dust moves them to pity." Even in desolation, we should be deeply concerned about the condition of God's covenant people. Their desolation should move us to pity. Verse 15, "The nations will fear the name of the Lord. All the kings of the earth will revere your glory." God's going to intervene on behalf of his people in such a way that it will make a deep impact on all the nations of the world and their rulers. They will stand back in awe and amazement when they see what God does for his people. Verse 16, "For the Lord will rebuild Zion and appear in his glory." Rebuild is just another word for restoration. God is going to restore Zion, he's going to rebuild Zion, and when he does so, he's going to appear in his glory. You remember that I said yesterday about the time of the restoration of all things, that will be the period in which Jesus will again appear in his glory. So these two passages agree exactly. Verse 17, "He," that's God, "will respond to the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their plea." Sometimes we think that people are praying and praying and praying and there seems to be no answer. But there's a day coming when God is going to answer many, many prayers in a very short time. Just recently, I was at the Western Wall in Jerusalem, a place I usually go to each time I'm in the city, and I was just quietly worshipping the Lord at the wall, and I looked at all the innumerable little pieces of paper stuffed into the cracks which represent the prayer requests of thousands of God's people. And I thought, people keep on putting those prayer requests in the wall, and sometimes there seems to be no answer. But the Spirit of God came over me, and it was as though God said to me, "There's a day coming when I'm going to answer all those prayer requests in just a very brief period of time." Verse 18, let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. See, those words were written for our benefit, because I believe we're in that generation. Let me share this with you. I believe God's people over the centuries have been so slack to praise God the way he deserves that God says at the end of the age, he said, if I'm going to be praised the way I deserve, I'm going to have to create a people to do it. And you know what I believe? I believe God, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit today, is creating a people. We're part of that generation that's created to praise the Lord because we see his intervention on behalf of his people. Let me just point out certain simple facts about that prophecy that I've read. First of all, in God's prophetic calendar, there is an appointed time to have compassion or show favor or grace to his covenant people. Secondly, it will take the form of a divine intervention that will speak to all nations. Thirdly, the Lord's rebuilding or restoring Zion immediately precedes his appearing again in glory. Fourthly, it will be the answer to countless prayers. And fifthly, at this time, the Lord is creating a people specially to praise him.
You know, it's amazing how many times in the Bible God says he's going to restore everything, or he tells somebody to reclaim all, or to have all restored to them. God is about reclaiming what is being lost. He's actually more serious about it than we are. Maybe that's about to change. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Few people realize that the church and the nation of Israel have two closely connected but very distinct destinies. Or that as history's clock ticks, the paths of the church and of Israel get closer together. In fact, it's only a matter of time before they converge. In his classic book, The Destiny of Israel and the Church, Derek Prince pulls back the curtain of prophecy and reveals the separate roles that Israel and the church will play as we hurtle forward into the last days. Discover why, as these prophetic paths converge, we will find ourselves in a season of the most dramatic and earth-shaking developments in all of human history. What lies just ahead, and how should believers respond? Order The Destiny of Israel and the Church by Derek Prince at the special price of only $9.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. In a day in which many Christians are confused or are falling prey to false teachings about the place of Israel in God's plan of redemption, Derek Prince offers a voice of clarity and biblical authority. In a season in which too few believers know what God has planned for the church at the climax of history, this book brings us trustworthy answers. Take a moment to order your copy of The Destiny of Israel and the Church, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or securely order your copy for only $9.95 when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we're in the final portion of today's teaching with Derek Prince on the theme of restoration. And Derek is teaching us about restoration in the end times, restoration of the church, how God wants to restore the people to the land and to the land of promise. It is a thrilling teaching. Let's listen as Derek wraps this up.
Now I'm going to show you how this time or period of restoration or the appointed time of God's favor applies particularly to the fig tree, that's to Israel. I'm going to give you just a brief outline of significant dates in Israel's recent history, going back to just the close of the last century. My theme is that the process of restoration of Israel significantly began just about the turn of the present century. Let me give you briefly these dates. 1897, the first Zionist World Conference was held in Switzerland. 1904, Theodore Herzl, the visionary prophet of Zionism, died at the age of 44, and on his deathbed he declared, "Men call me a visionary and a dreamer, but within 50 years my vision will be fulfilled." It was fulfilled 44 years after his death when the State of Israel was born. 1917 is another key date. It marked the end of 4 centuries of Turkish desolation of the land of Israel and also the Balfour Declaration by the British government declaring that they viewed with favor the creation of a national home for the Jewish people in the land of Israel. And then we move on to perhaps one of the 2 most significant dates, 1948, the actual rebirth of the State of Israel as an independent sovereign state. And lastly, 1967, the time at which, for the first time in 2,500 years, the old city of Jerusalem, the original city of Jerusalem, once again came under the government of Israel. Not that Israel totally possesses it, but that they are again the governing agency for that little piece of territory, which is the key to so much of human history. I had the personal privilege of being present in the land of Israel when some of these key events took place. I went there as a soldier in the British Army in 1944. After my discharge from the British Army, I remained living in Israel into 1948 through the period of the First Arab-Jewish War. So I'm speaking about things that I witnessed firsthand. And I just want to give you my personal opinion. I believe that in this period of restoration of Israel, we have witnessed a greater exodus, a greater miracle, a greater demonstration of God's sovereignty and power than even the exodus of Israel from Egypt under Moses. Furthermore, I believe that the prophetic scriptures declare that it will be so. Let me read to you from Jeremiah 16, verses 14 and 15. Therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be said, as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north and from all the countries where he had banished them. For I will restore them to their own land, which I gave to their fathers. The Exodus was a tremendous miracle. For many, many, many centuries, Israel has lived in memory of that Exodus, celebrating it each year at the Passover. But their own prophetic scriptures declare that a greater Exodus is to come, not just from Egypt, not just from one nation or one situation of persecution and bondage, but from the north country, and that primarily is Europe and Russia, because it's north of the land of Israel, but from all the countries where God had banished them. And God says, I will restore them to their own land, which I gave to their fathers. Notice again that key promise, I will restore. We are living in the days that were predicted here in this prophecy of Jeremiah. What an excitement and what a privilege. But remember that restoration for Israel is initially geographical and political, but ultimately spiritual.
You know, some of us listening to Derek's teaching might be eager to talk about the theme of personal restoration, how God restores in our lives, and maybe a little frustrated that Derek keeps talking about the restoration of Israel and the restoration of the church. One of the things we have to understand as we approach the Bible about our lives is that we are part of a broader body of people called the church. And as the church, we are meant to keep our eyes on Israel, pray for Israel, know what's happening with Israel, understand the times and the seasons. It's all part of the whole of why we have been put on this earth in this generation. You see, you aren't here by an accident. You have been placed here by God for such a time as this, for purposes such as these. And one of the overarching purposes of God is that He is restoring in our generation. Make it your prayer today that God will restore you, that God will restore the church, and that He will open your eyes to see the restoration of Israel. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Thank you for joining us for Derek Prince Legacy Radio. To order your copy of Derek's book, The Destiny of Israel and the Church, give us a call, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This insightful book is only $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can purchase your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.